Hi, welcome to Together Equal Diversity Made Simple, hosted by me, Sarah Ebb-Mash.
And me, Andrew Milne.
We're talking to guests about their diversity journey and asking them to share their one simple tip towards making the workplace more diverse, equal and inclusive. Thank you for tuning in. Today, we're excited to introduce our guest, Fumbi Banjoko, Director of Sales Development for EMEA and APAC at Currency Cloud. Prior to that, Fumbi worked for the likes of Zipcar, Manhattan Loft Corporation and The Collective. Fumbi, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Before we dig in, could you tell us a bit more about yourself and what it is you do?
Sure. I'll start with Currency Cloud. So Currency Cloud enables banks, fintechs and FX brokers to move money seamlessly worldwide by allowing these businesses to hold, convert, pay out and manage multiple currencies using our technology. As Director of Sales Development, I'm responsible for supporting the global sales development team with finding, educating and qualifying new companies that could benefit from using our services.
That sounds like a great role. Are there a lot of women that do that role?
Women in the fintech space are quite rare, especially within sales. So not that many women, but I've come across quite a few in my journey so far, and we tend to network and learn and share from each other.
Brilliant. So you're quite the trailblazer.
I'm not promoting myself as that.
But speaking of trailblazing then, Fumbi, what would you say that inclusion or diversity means to you?
I personally think diversity means celebrating people's uniqueness and fostering an environment where everyone can show up as their authentic selves, regardless of their background. So those spaces they feel comfortable in, they don't have to pretend or mask to be someone else, and companies encourage that behaviour.
You have quite a big team. Is that something that you actively are aware of in your day-to-day?
Yeah, especially in hiring. I think within a fintech space, hiring people from diverse backgrounds and also women is a challenge. I feel the way companies exhibit themselves, and within the fintech space, people assume you have to come from a certain background, or it's quite male dominated in the finance industry anyway. So when I'm recruiting, I'm actively looking for people who don't come from the necessary normal backgrounds, or people who look very different to what you see day to day. And Currency Cloud fosters that, I guess, unique culture of people showing up as their self. So it's great to be part of a company that also welcomes diversity. We've got people in my team who've got tattoos from head to toe, which obviously working in the finance world, you may not see. We've got people from all different backgrounds, but we all get along. I think the common theme is we all enjoy working together and being human, regardless of our background. So we've got people that work all across Europe and the UK, different backgrounds, different educational routes, etc. But we all work together and we all have fun together as well while doing it.
So do you find these people apply organically for roles, or do you have to go out and hunt for them, as it were?
Personally speaking, I find when I'm recruiting for the sales development roles, it's quite hard to find females. And I also realised during the interview process, the way females present, they present very differently. They feel they have to check all the boxes. So when I'm interviewing, I'm quite conscious of sharing or trying to get them to share their experiences and making it quite clear they don't have to tick every single thing. A lot of the things they do day to day are transferable, especially within the sales world. But I feel women especially are a little bit harder on themselves, and they feel they have to tick all the boxes before they even want to apply. So we do try and actively encourage and source some women applicants too.
And have you taken steps to work with the talent team more closely to ensure that you are seeing a wider range of candidates?
Yeah, so last year we attended the Women in Tech event, had a stall there where we were helping everyone who was there present rewrite their CVs, just giving them advice of what working for a tech company could look like. One of my colleagues, Joe, spoke on the panel as well, sharing in terms of what a day in the life of a data engineer is. And we actually had a couple of people actually apply for roles, which was great to see. I think as a company, you have to proactively source diversity in these different spaces. And that also includes people from different cultural backgrounds as well, not just on the gender spectrum.
Okay. And do you have any advice for people who may be asking, you know, how exactly do I go about that, sourcing people from different backgrounds and so on?
I would say start with your current employee base. And if you don't have diversity there, there's a lot of different groups that you can engage with that either recruit specific types of talent. There's a channel called 10,000 Black Interns on LinkedIn. There's lots of different groups, basically, that have different cultures, etc., that you can reach out to try and, I guess, one, show that your company is looking for diverse people, and also then attract that talent, invite them in, let them understand what your company does, and then potentially they may want to apply for the future. Also, careers fairs, I think, is quite also important. Getting in early with children and letting them know from literally from primary school onwards that there is an avenue for them later down the line when they actually want to start the working world. So the tech industry is booming now. So there's a lot of different roles out there that people may not be familiar with. So I think companies can do a lot in terms of speaking to the next generation that's coming through and educating them of all the different areas that people can work in, be it creative spaces and all the other spaces in between.
Great. So Fumbi, what would be your one simple tip to make the workplace more inclusive that any of our listeners could easily implement?
I personally think surveying your employees on what's working and what's not working is quite important, because companies also make an assumption that one way of doing things may be best, and that may not also be the way that the employee base feels. So to try and find out how the company can contribute to building and maintaining an equitable, diverse, inclusive workplace. And then with those results, actually actioning them rather than just capturing them and showing them on a pretty slide, actually actioning them and potentially getting employees who have shared the feedback to run with those projects. Because it's always best when things are employee-led versus company-led. That way you're probably more likely to get adoption from the different groups that have shared their feedback.
That's a great tip. I've, funnily enough, had a conversation just earlier about getting the feedback but not actually acting on it. So I'm right behind you.
And so do you have any examples of activities that you've led or took part in that have led to a more equal and diverse workplace?
Yeah, so a funny one, and people always seem to be surprised when I say this. Personally, I've never seen my race as a barrier to my success. I kind of just present myself as Fumbi wherever I go, but I'm quite conscious of how other people may be perceiving me, and other people may not feel that same, I guess, authenticity that they can just show up as themselves. Also having my son change my perspective on the world. He had his first racist experience when he was only 9 months old. So I was quite more conscious and aware of how society views people of different colours. And obviously the BLM movement, the 2020 activities that happened, everyone was also at home, so you're able to digest a lot more information. And reviewing that over time, I became extremely conscious that it's not the norm for a lot of people, especially Black people across the world, to just turn up as they are and not have to code switch. So being from an underrepresented community, when I joined Currency Cloud, I personally wanted to ensure that all the Black employees that work for Currency Cloud could show up as their selves and not feel a certain type of way. And I kind of organically started a Slack chat initially with some of the Black employees. And as we grew as a company, because we were going through heavy growth mode, that ended up turning into an actual ERG where we had different activities where we share our insights, career histories, what people do day to day, what challenges they faced going up, if people are going for job interviews, any tips and tricks and things like that to share. But it was really nice to see people being able to be themselves in a safe space. But also we pushed that out to the company in terms of educating everybody on the Black experience and work. Some people weren't aware of things like having an interview and you're wondering, oh, how shall I do my hair for this? Little things that people don't think of. It was really great launching Black officially in October during Black History Month in the UK. And we've continued to promote the ERG that we do, and also connecting with Visa on that to make it sure it's a wider spread organisation that can actually have more of an impact.
I think it's interesting you say about the hair comment there, because one of my first jobs, I was working on the reception of a hedge fund company. And we had a woman who used to work there, and she turned up late one day by about 20 minutes. And just in casual conversation, I was like, oh, so why are you so late then? She's like, oh, I'm really, really sorry I'm late. I was having to straighten my hair. I was like, why? And she's like, well, because I thought it's more professional for me to have straight hair on the work desk. I was like, do what you want. It doesn't make a difference. Like, your hair is not your ability to work. And since then, she's been quite an advocate for naturally curly hair. I've had quite a good conversation about, you know, how attitudes are changing, and, you know, how she'd never felt comfortable in having naturally curly hair in the workplace because she thought, oh, it's a financial company, you've got to look all professional and straight haired, and da da da. I was like, darling, there's more important things in the world to worry about than your hair. So whatever works for you will work for me. Luckily I was the manager, so I could say that. But that's always stuck with me, as how she was so conscious of having curly hair and how it impacted her everyday life then.
Yeah, it's something that it happens day to day. I think the way society is going now, people are more aware of the different types of hairstyles that Black people wear. And there's a lot more confidence. Like, even on LinkedIn, I see people posting about going natural versus wearing a weave or wig or straightening their hair like that. It's amazing to see the transition, and people are feeling empowered to just turn up as themselves. Whereas for many years, like others, I used to straighten my hair too. It was more so also easier to manage. but yeah, just being able to rock up with different hairstyles. People always comment on calls. I've changed my hair like every couple of weeks, but it's great to be able to just do that and not feel a certain type of way or feel that you're being judged for what naturally grows outside of your head.
I know, and also, you know, building on the hair and the wig comment as well, I suppose, does it show, it's not really ignorance, I call it, I just say lack of information. Again, when I was doing the reception job, I was going, one of the concerts, how does she keep on changing her hair so often? It must be ruining it. I was like, she's wearing a wig or a weave, like, I can guarantee, no, it's not, it looks really good. I was like, yeah, no, I can guarantee you that. And then she wouldn't believe me, and then we just said, look, obviously, you know, coming from a place of interest, not of criticism, but how do you change your hair so often? And she said, yeah, no, this is a weave, this is a wig, and so on. So I thought it's fascinating just to see the lack of understanding on of how hairstyles can change, and the difference between, like you said, wigs, weaves, braids, and so on.
You used the term code switch. Mm. I've never heard that before. What can you explain what it is?
Oh, so code switching is being a chameleon, basically. In different environments, you know how to present yourself, speak in a certain way, depending on what the environment is. So if you're around friends and family, you may be more colloquial and just speak as you are. If you're in a more corporate environment, you may change your approach and speak in a different tone. So as a Black person, you from quite early, and actually as a person from an ethnic minority, you learn how to code switch in different environments, especially working in the Western world. So yeah, that's what code switching is.
Thank you for explaining. So we've talked about the ERG initiative that you have headed and run and kicked off. So obviously you're a big role model and you're leading by example. On a day-to-day with your team and on a more individual level, how do you impact or influence change on that level?
Leading by example is a key thing. I personally don't like being the voice of the movement, but at the same time, in order to see change, you kind of have to be the change and be the change you want to see, as they say. So I purposely try and encourage others in my team and also in the ERG to promote themselves as well, because you never know who you might inspire or who may be going on a similar journey to you and not realize that they can actually do X, Y, or Z. But by you sharing your story, you can empower the next generation and also others, your peers or elders as well. So it's threefold. So being the voice, I think, is a key thing. And we encourage our members of Black as well to get involved with different initiatives. So there was a talk of a school that came in to the company, and we had one of the guys join that and share his experience. He's quite new into his career journey as well, so it was good for them to see the next transition. But yeah, just being present and vocal, and also calling out stuff that you hear day to day that you don't feel is actually quite right, and not being afraid to do so. Because I think back in the day you would hear all sorts of isms and ignore it, whereas now you can challenge it and feel empowered that actually other people might stand up and challenge it with you versus other people just pretending that they didn't hear or see anything.
That's great. It's a shame you have to be vocal, but it's good that you are.
It's necessary, right? So things won't really change if everyone keeps quiet. So you kind of have to be the voice. I think my son's made that my main priority. I don't want him to grow up in a world where he has to feel a certain type of way just because he's a young Black boy.
100%.
So Fumbi, how do you go about measuring success in what you do when it comes to inclusion at work?
There's, I think, three core ways. Regularly surveying the team and the ERG to see if they're getting the most value from it. I do this with my team as well in terms of what do people like to see. I don't like to be the voice of the change. I want people to share their ideas and encourage them to also lead on those projects. So surveying them to make sure they're getting the most value out of the groups, the meetings that we have, whatever it may be. And also it keeps it fresh and engaging. Also, measuring attendance. So we may be putting on events, but if people don't show up to them, it's probably a sign that things aren't going quite well. So we always want to see things growing. We want to see not just the people from the ERG attending as well, more wider reaching across the company and at all different levels. And also, I guess it's the volunteering of people with new ideas and feeling that they can share some suggestions. Like, we may be the co-chairs of the ERG, but it doesn't mean that we have all the ideas. So actively encouraging our members and also my team to share new ways and new ideas and things to bring to the table that we can try. I think that's the key measurements of success, the engagement level, how often people show up and how often people want to contribute as well.
Brilliant. Typical marketing question, sorry, from a marketing person. Do you benchmark that and see whether you can always optimize it and get more? Do you have kind of targets, even if it's just personally about making attendance better?
I think that there isn't necessarily a percentage of we want to see X more. I think also I have to balance this with my day job, so, which is quite difficult at times. So it's more so about ensuring each time we do something, it's better than before, and the representation is greater. I think the biggest thing for me as well is making sure it's never just the ERG people that are attending stuff. It's more so education for everybody. So I'm always badgering the leadership team, the execs, et cetera, to ensure they're present as well. And because I feel like that also shows that the company is engaged when we have all levels attending different events to promote diversity.
Yeah, we're big into that you have to, it's no good just talking to the people that are already listening. We need to speak to the people who aren't listening and get them engaged.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest measures for successes that I've found for the work that you're doing is the fact that other people are coming up to me and saying, well, they've got their own ERG, why can't we have one? It's like, you can, you just have to take the initiative and be the voice of change, as we've been saying on this call earlier on. You can have whatever you want, but you've got to want it and you've got to work for it, which is a different life lesson and a different conversation, I'm sure.
So final question, and the best one. What are you most proud of in your diversity and inclusion journey?
I'd have to say being finalist for the 2023 Black Tech Achievement Awards. We were nominated in 4 different categories across the business and individuals. And I feel like this was a great testament to the great work that we had been doing internally, but also allowed us to share within the tech sector the great talent that we have, or Black talent that we have in the company. And it was quite a humbling achievement for myself personally. I was nominated or considered for the Inspirational Woman of the Year Award, which is something that I would never nominate myself for, but it was super humbling to know that people saw that of me based on the work that I'm doing. And it's just more so I'm doing the work just to try and make a change. I'm not trying to do it for the recognition, really. So yeah, that's probably the proudest achievement I've had to date.
You are definitely inspiring, and it's definitely well-earned nomination for sure. So Fumbi, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. It's been great to speak to you both as well.
And thanks to our listeners. Make sure you tune in to our next episode of Together Equal, Diversity Made Simple.